Bezras Hashem Bli Neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Nishmas Avi Moya, Rav David Tzvi Ben Harav Yosef, as well as for the safety of the hostages and the Chayalim fighting in Eretz Yisrael. Today's daf is Bav Metzia Daf Ayin. We left off on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph at the words Amar Rav Hanan, Amar Shmuel. Three lines down, last one line is Amar. Good morning, Reuven from Harrisburg. Good morning, Yitzchak Aryeh. Good morning, Chana Chedach. Good morning, Tzvika in Boston. How's Boston, Tzvika? Good morning, Avram. Good morning, Avram David. Good morning, Shlomo David. And we're looking forward to welcoming Dr. Joe and Avram Chaim shortly. Says the Gemara on Ayin Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Hanan, Amar Shmuel. Rav Hanan said in the name of Shmuel, Ma'oz shel Yisomim. If you have money of kids whose dad died, and there's a guardian who's assigned by the court to deal with the children's stuff. There's a guardian assigned by the court. A good chodesh to everybody, by the way. Chodesh. There's a guardian assigned by the court. Mutter lahalvosim beribis. Unbelievable. Rav Hanan said the name of Shmuel that you are allowed to lend out orphans' property with interest. Unbelievable. Amali Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to Rav Hanan, really? How could Shmuel be mata such a thing? Just because they're Yisomim, so you could feed them Isser? You could help them do an Isser by lending with interest? Yasme da achli delav diduhu lezlu basa shavkai. He makes a very strong statement. Orphans who get a hold of money that's not really theirs, they're going to end up following their father to where their father is. Meaning, just like the father's dead, they're going to end up being dead also. You can't, just because they're orphans, doesn't mean they can do isurim. Now, this is a sugi in Maseches Yevamos. The Rashba adds over here. Even though we know you're not allowed to, let's say, feed a katan pig. You're not allowed to feed pig to a katan. However, that's only where they're actually doing an issa with their own hands. But here, they're not actually doing a maisa. It's the guardian who's doing it on their behalf. So Rav Hanan held it was mutter, even by ribis doraisa. So Rav Nachman thinks this is absurd. And Rav Nachman is so convinced that Shmuel could never have said such a thing, that it's okay for orphans to lend with interest. He said, tell me what you heard from Shmuel. Tell me the story. Good morning to Yitzchak Meir HaKohen and to Avram Moshe ben Yitzchak Meir HaKohen. So, Amarle, Rav Nachman said, Rav Nachman, Emily Izu, some say Izi, Gufadub Deichiyav, tell me, why are you saying that Shmuel said this? What did you hear from him that led you to believe that Shmuel says? Amar Leh. So Rav Hanan said, I'll tell you. There was a story. Hahu Duda. There was a story with a large copper pot. Dibnei Ma'ukfa. It belonged to the sons of Ma'ukfa who were orphans. Dahabe Be'mar Shmuel. And this pot was in the house of Shmuel. I guess Shmuel was taking care of some of the stuff of the orphans. And Shmuel would rent out this pot to people for the orphans to make money. Takil v'yayavle, when he would rent it out to people, he would weigh it. Takil v'shakale, and he would weigh it on the way when he got it back to find out what the wear and tear was. Shakil agra, and this case was that Shmuel would take a rental fee from the renters. Vishakil Paksa. And he also used to he would take money if it would go down in value. He would take money from them, which means that the renters would accept upon themselves if it would go down in worth also. Now, wait a second. This is exactly the type of arrangement that we said before was interest, because if the borrowers are going to take upon themselves that if it loses value, they're going to pay back the value, then it's basically a loan. It's not like the orphans owned it. If the orphans owned it the whole time, they just rented it. So if it went down in value, no one would have to pay back for that. That's what happens with rentals. Sometimes it goes down in value if it belongs to the fact that the renters took upon themselves responsibility for it going down in value. This is a loan. We said, well, this time it's like an ISCA arrangement where it's ribbis. So where it says, e agra lo paxa, vi paxa lo agra. If you're paying rent, then you can't also accept upon yourself the depreciation in value. And if you're going to accept upon yourself the depreciation in value, then you can't pay rent. That's ribbis. So Rav Nachman said to Rav Hanan, no, you misunderstood this whole situation. Rav Hanan would never let orphans lend with interest. Omar Lay, Kiha, I feel but dikni nami shari lebed. This type of arrangement, even with old people, dikni, Dalit and Zion in Aramaic are interchangeable. So dikni is like ziknini, right? Diknin is a zucking. With such an arrangement, even older people, even people who are not orphans, it would be mutter to do this. This is not ribbis. Why? Because the entire responsibility for the depreciation was not on the renters. The owners, the yisomen, accepted upon themselves the lowering in value of the copper that's left over. They would use the pot and the fire. They would use the pot to cook, obviously. And not only would the overall price of pots go down, but the value of the copper would become worth less when they would use the fire. The fire would affect the value of the copper. And that, the yisomen would take upon themselves. So since the yisomen would take upon themselves that, it wasn't viewed completely as a loan. And therefore, it's not a problem of ribbis. They would be allowed to take the payment for that, because it wasn't just the renters taking upon themselves all the responsibility. The owners took upon themselves responsibility as well, the yisomen, and therefore it's not a loan. And therefore there's no ribbis problem in that case. Now, Amar Rabba Bar Shela, Amar Rav Chisna, Amar Rila, Amar Rabba Bar Yosef, Racham, Amar Sheishes, Ma'os Shel Yisomen, money of yisomen, and Rashi says, most Rishonim say it's yisomen katanim, but even if the yosem was above the age of 13, if he doesn't have das to be osik in his own property, the Trumas Adeshin says, so Bezdin would appoint an apotropos here as well. So, but Ma'os Shel Yisomen, Mutter Lahalvosan, Karov L'Schar V'Rachok L'Hefset. So the guardian is allowed to lend them out on a type of business deal that there's a lot greater chance of making money, and it's very low chance of them losing money. So even though for elders, so the simple explanation over here why they're allowed to do this, because you're allowed to do this type of arrangement with yisomim so they can split, even though this would be really ribbis to Rabbanan. But for yisomim, it's going to be permissible, ribbis to Rabbanan. We'll see in a few situations that over the daf that it's avak ribbis. So that for the yisomim, they were makel. The rabbis were makel to allow them to do this, kind of like what we said before in the name of Rabbanan Amar Shmuel. So this is another leniency that the rabbis would permit this for yisomim. Says the Gemara, we're going to explain this a little bit more in detail later in the daf. Tana Rabbanan, a rabbi saw it in a brisa. Karov, so now we're going to elaborate on this. Karov l'schar v'rochok l'hefsed. If a person, some understand that this case is where you only have a chance to make money and you can't lose money. Now again, that's also going to be a ribba, as we just said. So Karov l'schar v'rochok l'hefsed, if a person lends money to his friend and he could only make money and not lose. So again, that's going to be interest. That's going to be ribbis. So the Gemara says, Russia. So Karov l'schar v'rochok l'hefsed is Russia. Karov l'hefsed v'rochok l'schar, if you go into a deal where you can only lose money and not make money, so the Gemara says, you're a chassid. So everyone says, you're a chassid? Like, really? You're an idiot. It's what you are. So everyone asks the kasha. The Ritva asks, you're a chassid? You're a chassid shota. You're a fool. That you're lending money in a case where you can only lose and not benefit. So the Ritva, so Rashi learns, says you're a chassid. So the Ritva disagrees. He says, no, it doesn't mean that in all these cases, it doesn't mean that you are not going to make any money. It just means that the chances of making money are less than they are for losing money. But it's not like you're not going to make money at all. It means you're going to take less money than the rabbis permitted you to make in such a deal. The Chachama permitted you to get, let's say, one third of the benefit, but if it goes down in value, you're going to have to take half of the hefsid. Right, so you're paying the guy for his trouble. You're paying the guy, so you're only going to take one third of the benefit, or half of the benefit and two thirds of the loss, like we saw earlier. That's okay. So you're machmir on yourself. You're going to take half of the gains, but you're going to take less than a third, or you're going to take half of the loss and less than a third of the profit. Less than a third. Others say, no. We're talking here about a guy who doesn't want to make money off of this at all. And there's somebody who's like needs the money, and you're going to do a chesed for him. So you're going to lend the money in a way that you know that he might make, but you're not going to get anything out of it. You're just trying to do the guy a chesed. So therefore, you're a chesed. There's a lot of other discussion about this. But anyway, so again, Karav L'Schai V'Rach L'Hep said, you're a Russian. That's Ribbis. Karav lehefsed rachok schai yer chassid. Karav lezel lezeh rachok mizel lezeh. If it's 50-50 on the bank gain and the loss for both of you, zui midas kaladim. That's a normal iska. Now again, but there's something missing here. But however, the Rishonim point out, you have to still pay him. Right? The Popol Charifta in his commentary on the Rush says as long as this works midas kaladim, as long as you pay him for his tercha, you have to pay the guy for his tercha. Because if you're both going to split the gains and the loss at 50-50, that's a loan. It's your money. If you're going to get it back plus the benefits, so then that's going to be a loan. So therefore, you have to pay him for his tercha. Says the Gemara. Amalei Rabba L'Rav Yosef Hani Zuzi Diasme Money of Yisomim Heichi Abdinulu. So, what can you do for them to make sure they don't lose their money? Amalei. Put it in Bezdin, Bezdin will give it to him a little bit at a time. Says Gemara, that's ridiculous. But if you don't invest the kid's money, you just give it to him a little bit at a time, at some point the money's going to run out. You got to invest it and make it in some type of escrow that they're going to make money. So what do you do? So Amalei, so if Yosef said to Rabba, Mar Hechi Avid, what are you suggesting? What should we do with the money of Yisomim? So Amalei, Bad Kinan Gavra de Islay Dahava Pricha. I find a rich guy who has a lot of broken pieces of gold. That's how you know he's rich. He has broken pieces of gold. Benaktinan Dahava Mine. And we take some of his gold and we put it in Bezdin as collateral for the business. Viavinala Nuyale, we give him the money of the Yisomim. Karav Leschaver, Rachak Lehefsin. And he invests it in a way. He's a nice guy. He's willing to do this. He doesn't need so much. So he'll take a little bit less on his investment. Karav l'schav rachak lehefsid. Aval, davar mesuyam. But if it's a rich guy, just has a lot of gold and silver pots and pans around his house, that doesn't necessarily mean he's rich. Lo, dilma pikadon in him. Maybe they really belong to somebody else and they just gave him to watch. Asi, mari, yoyev simanim shakale. And people are going to come give their simanim and take them away. So that's not a good collateral. It's got to be a guy that has cash because people tend to not lend each other pieces of gold. This guy's a wealthy guy. He'll have the gold to back it up in case the thing goes bad. He'll have what to pay. Amaravashi, Tenach, Imishtaka Gavra Disli Dava Pricha. That's good if you find a guy that's got broken pieces of gold. Ilomishtaka Gavra Disli Dava Pricha. But you don't have to find such a guy. Nechlo Zuzi Diasme, is the money of the orphans going to go to waste? So what are you going to do? Ela Amaravashi. Chazinan Gavra de Mishpu Nixe. We find a guy who's wealthy, who nobody has complaints about his properties. Everyone knows it's his. Umehemen, he's a trustworthy guy.
V'shama dina d'oraisa, he will listen to Torah law. V'lo mekabel sham to d'rabbanan, he's never been put in cherem. He's never put in cherem. So you take a trustworthy guy. V'yavinu niyale b'beit dina. We give him the money in an iska in front of Beis Din, where it's very likely that they'll make money and he's willing to take less of a profit. And we do that bifnei Beis Din. Why do we do it bifnei Beis Din? Because even though, so some say, this is machlokas, based on what we said before. Remember we said before, some people say that if it's karav l'schar v'rachok mehefsin, it means he's not making anything. Well, if he's not making anything, then you got to do it in front of Beis Din. It's ribbis d'rabbanan, so it's hefker Beis Din hefker. Others say, no, he's just going to make less. If he's going to make less, you just do it in front of Beis Din just to make sure it's on the up and up, that the deal is appropriate. But not that he's not making anything. It would not be ribbis if he just makes less. So then you're paying the guy for his tercha. So he'll make something. You're paying the guy for his tercha. So then it's not ribbis. So it's machlokas why it's being done in front of Beis Din. Okay. New Mishnah. Here we go. Says the Mishnah in the base. Ein mekablin son barzel miyisrael mipnei shehu ribbis. So basically, this is an iska with a son barzel. Just means with something that's strong, like a sheep or an iron, something like an iron pot or something. Good morning, Avram Chaim. You're in time for Amud Beis. Ein mekablin son barzel miyisrael. So you're not allowed to do this situation where, let's say, one man owns a sheep, its own, right? One guy owns a sheep, and he's going to give it to the guy, and the guy's going to make money out of it. The case is that if the thing loses all its value, the guy's going to pay it back. So it's mamish like a loan. And if there's profit, they're going to split the profits.
What's on my soul? What is it again?
It just means any sin. It's not just lav dafka tzon barzel. Again, tzon means a sheep, and barzel is anything strong, anything that it's just you're giving him the entire thing. If an onus happens and it loses the value, you're going to replace the whole value, and they're going to split the profits. So that's a classic situation of interest. Mipnei shu ribbis. It's ribbis to rabbana. It's not ribbis to rice because we don't know how much it's going to make. You have no idea how much money they're going to make out of it. But since the point here is, Ellie, that the receiver, the guy doing the business, is taking upon himself the entire responsibility. So it becomes like a loan. He's going to pay you back. He's going to, for sure, guarantee you get it back. So therefore, it's not a pikadon, it's a halva. And so that's ribbis. Avon mekabon son barzel over kachav. But from a guy, you're allowed to do this because, presumably, you're allowed to pay interest to a guy. The loven man. And you could borrow from a guy with interest to Mavlin or some ribbis, and you could lend them with interest. Sounds like from the Mishnah, the whole laws of interest don't apply to that. Oh, you want to explain this? Why is this so? So I think it was the Ramban we said at the beginning that Ramban says that the whole idea of lending with interest, the whole thing, the whole issue doesn't make sense. If I lend you something for a few months, it makes sense you should pay me for it. I'm letting you make money with my money. It's illogical a little bit why the Torah asks us ribbis. So the Ramban explained that ribbis is this idea that we want to encourage free loans. We want to encourage people to help each other out, free loans. So we want to encourage this chesed. It's a chesed. But we want to encourage it. So by a guy, it's not that we're nailing the guy. By the guy, you just go back to what the logic should have been all along, which is if I borrow money for a year, I can make money. Your money makes sense. You should have to pay him for that. So v'chein begir tosha. We're going to see in the Gemara, it's not quite exactly so true that you're allowed to lend the guy with interest. Malve Yisrael, Ma'osa Shalom Kochavim, a Yisrael could lend another Yisrael money that belongs to a guy, Midas Arikam, as long as the guy knows what's happening with it. Avalo Midas Yisrael. The Gemara is going to explain what this means. What does it mean, Midas Yisrael? What does it mean, Midas Arikam? Says the Gemara, L'meimra, Dibir Shusa, Demekabel Kaimo. That this son barzel type of arrangement was where the guy who's receiving it, he's taking all the responsibility? Really? That's what the arrangement was? And it's total ribbis? Or a minute, I'll ask you a contradiction from Bechoros. Hamakabel son barzel min anachrim. If a guy gives you a son barzel arrangement, and then, let's say it's a sheep, and the sheep has babies, so do the dinim of Bechor apply to the babies? or the baby's babies. So vlados peturna b'chor. So first of all, the babies that are born from this mommy sheep, there's no din of b'chor. Why not? Because it's still owned by the guy. Has an ownership in it. So this sounds like it's like a pikadon, not like a loan that it's owned by the Yisrael. And not only that, so from the fact that it's pater b'chor, that sounds like the owner is still the original owner. Answer the Rabbi Lokasha. Had the Makabal Yunsavazula. The case of the Mishnah Bechoros, that the animal is still considered in the possession of the guy who gave it, the guy, that's where the guy accepts upon himself any onus or a lowering in price. So it still is. Vaha, our Mishnah is the Lokabal Yunsavazula. The giver did not accept upon himself any responsibility, so it's viewed as completely belonging to the receiver, and therefore it's a loan, and therefore it's ribbis. Amalei Rava, you can't explain, you can't give that answer. So Rava disagrees with Abaye's answer for two reasons. Amalei Rava, I have two problems to the answer. Number one, Ida kabla le mara unsa vizola son baza karisle. You wouldn't call it its own Basel agreement, as Ravelli asked me before. The whole idea of its own Basel agreement is that the receiver accepts responsibility. That's the definition of it. You wouldn't call it that. The whole idea of its own Basel is this thing is strong, that the giver can't lose the Karen. He can't lose the Karen, and it's not going to go down in value. Furthermore, if you want to tell me that even when the giver takes upon himself the responsibility, it is called tzon barzo, so there would be a tzon barzo that wouldn't have ribbis. So then it's difficult with the Mishnah. If there is such a case of tzon barzo that wouldn't be ribbis, meaning if the giver would accept upon himself responsibility, so why the Mishnah state, Adatani Sefer, Avo Makab, tzon barzo, Menor, Bekacham, if you're looking for a case where it's mutter, so you don't have to run to a guy, just say, if the nosein would accept responsibility, then it wouldn't be ribbis. Distinguish with the reisha itself and say, when do you say that you're not allowed to accept tzon barzo? That's where the giver did not accept any responsibility for onsin and for depreciation. But if the owner accepts upon himself responsibility for onus or depreciation, shaper dummy. Then it would be mutter. So because of these two questions, Rava does not like Abaye's answer. Elo amar Rava, edi, both our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Bechoros that exempts a tzon barzel agreement, the babies that come out of that from the din of Bechor, both of them are delo kabbalei mara unsa vizula. No, the owner, the giver, did not accept upon himself responsibility for an ones or depreciation in price. No, that's why it's called tzon barzo. The kabi b'choris, high time and develops to a b'chora. Why is it that the babies are exempt from the dinim of b'chor, even though the animals in the rishus of Yisrael came unto ilo yahiv zuzei? Since if at the end of the time of the business deal, the receiver will not pay the money. Let's say he defaults. He didn't make any money. So if it ends up at the end of the deal that he didn't make any money with it, so the guy is going to come take back his animal, even though during the time of the iska, it was considered to be the property of the Jew the whole time. Since if at the end of the day the thing ends up not making any money, the guy is going to grab the animal back. And if he can't even find the animal, Tavas Lulavlados, he's going to take babies that it made. Havala Yad Nachri Be'emsa. The guy is still considered to be a part owner in these animals. And since a guy is a part owner in the animals, it's Pater from the Dinam of Bechor. V'chol Yad Nachri Be'emsa, Pater Minah Bechor. Even though it wasn't, he's not an owner, but since he has rights to it, he could grab it at the end. So that's still considered to be, even though he's not an owner technically, but he has rights to it. So that would exempt these babies from Bechor. And now the Gemara is going to come to a conclusion on the issue of are you actually allowed to lend or borrow money from a guy with interest or not? Says the Gemara, there's a pasuk in Mishlei. Mar bahono b'neshek v'tarbis, a guy who makes a lot of money through interest, l'chonin dalim yikabtzenu. You're going to end up having to give your money away to a chonin dalim. Says the Gemara, my l'chonin dalim. Amarav, you go in Shvor Malka. Like the Persian king Shvor Malka, he would take money from the Jews and give it to the non-Jews that they are dalim min ha-mitzvos. The non-Jews are chonin dalim. You're going to give it to somebody who's a poor man. What do you mean, a poor man? You're going to give it to the goyim who are poor from mitzvos. They don't have mitzvos. Amar Rav Nachman. Amar li Huna. Rav Nachman was friends with Rav Huna. So he would refer to Rav Huna as Huna. They were good buddies. Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. Rav Huna was the Talmud Muvak of Rav, who was friendly with Rav Nachman. Amar Rav Nachman. Amar li Huna. Loi nitzracha. This pasuk is needed. Ella dafilu ribis tovit kochavim. Even if you take interest from a guy, you're going to end up losing your money. Really? So Rava understood from Rav Huna that it's aser midoraisa to lend money to a guy. Maybe it's a halacha l'moshe misinai. So says the Ramban, the Rashba. Eisri, Rav Rav Nachman. Wait a minute. How could you say it's us to lend money with interest to a guy? It's against a pasuk in the Chumash. Eisri, Rav Rav Nachman. La nochri sashif. Torah says to a guy, you're allowed to lend with interest. My tashif. Lav tishoch. Doesn't it mean you're allowed to lend it with interest? Answer the Gemara of Nachman says lo tashich. It means you're allowed to borrow from him with interest, but you're not allowed to lend him and take interest from him. Says the Gemara, really, that's what it means? Lanachri tashich. It sounds like it's a mitzvah. You have to do it. Lo sagi delav hachi. Does the Torah mean that? So I understand you could tell me it means you could lend it. You're allowed to lend it with interest. So then I understand that the Torah says that you shouldn't you shouldn't do it for free. You should take interest from him. But if you're telling me you should borrow from the interest, is that a mitzvah? It says Gemara, no, it's not what it means. Lafuke achikah delo just means that no, to a Jew you're not even allowed to borrow with interest. To a guy, it's not a mitzvah, but you're allowed to borrow with him with interest. It says Gemara, achikah behedjik sivbe ula achikah lo sashif. No, that's a fair pasuk against. The Gemara lava lava basay below sasay. La nachri sashich teaches me that if you borrow from a Jew without interest, I'm sorry. So if you borrow from a guy with interest, so you violate an asay and a lo sasay. I'm sorry. If you borrow money from a Jew with interest, so you violate an asse and a los asse. If you borrow from a Jew, you violate the los asse of, right, los ashech lo achicha, and then la nachri sashech, so there's an asse, meaning it's a lav haba mechlal asse, which is like an asse, right, la nachri sashech, which is mashma, to a guy you're allowed to borrow with interest, but to a Jew you're not allowed to borrow with interest. So by borrowing from a Jew with interest, you violate an asse, Lanachri sashich and a lo sase, lo sashich lo chicha. Ask the Gemara, Esive, Rabbi Esav Nachman, Lovin mehen, umalvin osam beribis. You are allowed to borrow for them with interest, and you're allowed to lend them with interest. The chain begir toshav. So it sounds like you're allowed to both borrow from them with interest and lend them with interest. And so tomorrow, I'm Rav Chiya Barei Rav Huna. No. What this means is, Mido Raisa, Rav Huna is correct, that it's usher to lend money to a guy with interest. I'm sorry. It's true that Rav Huna is correct, that it's usher to lend money to a guy with interest. However, it is not usher Mido Raisa. Midoraisa, you're allowed to lend and borrow money from a guy with interest. But when Rav Huna said it's usser to lend money to a guy with interest, he means it's usser midirabanan. Why is it usser midirabanan to lend money to a guy with interest? Because, says the Seder Rishonim, the Maram Shif writes, Rashi says, Dilma usi lemisra. We're afraid if you get used to lending guy money with interest, you're going to come to lend Jews money with interest. And the Maram Shif explains, right, maybe you'll come, right, Rashi just says, Dilma us in the Mizra, maybe we get used to lending. And the Maram Shif explains what Rashi means is, maybe you get used to lending it to a Jew. Oh, so how come the Mishnah permits lending to a guy with interest? Lo nitzricha, ella b'chidei chayav. If a guy is so poor that he mamish has no money, so you're allowed to lend money to a guy with interest if it's k'dei chayav. If you mamish have no money, if a Jew is mamish needs parnasa, if a Jew needs parnasa, since it's only an issur d'rabbanan and you're mamish starving, so if a Jew needs parnasa, you're allowed to violate k'dei parnasa. So, and Tosfos and Dibra Maschil Tashich, the bottom Tosfos on Ayin Amud Beis, and the Rashba say in the name of Rashi, Bizman Hazeh, the minhag is your mutter to lend money to a guy in every case, because you have to pay a lot of taxes, and whatever you lend him with interest.
So where every Jew is just going to guide in the bottom of the deal?
It's k'dei chayav. Is that part of the way they do? They run a heter iska nowadays? No, I don't think so. But it's permissible. If you're, I don't know.
Well, that was the extension which they came up with Prusbul. So in Shemitah year, so otherwise Jews wouldn't lend. And there would be no chesed of this nature being done.
Okay, it's mutter to lend money with a guy with interest if it's k'dei parnasaso. But more than that, it's usur, like Rav Huna says. One more line, Ravina Amar. Ravina says, a Talmud Chacham is allowed to lend to a guy with interest. Time of my Gazer Rabbanan, why did the rabbi say you shouldn't lend to a guy with interest? Shema yilmon mi masav. Maybe if you'll do too many business dealings with a guy, you're going to learn from his actions. Came in the Talmud Chacham who, lo yilmon mi masav. He disagrees and he says the reason is, it's because maybe you'll learn from his ways. We're not worried maybe you'll come to lend to Jews. Rashi seemed to say that in the first shot. But here, we're afraid Mishama Yomim Mimasov, you'll learn from his bad actions. But a Talmud Chacham is not going to lend. Now, hold on a second. If that's the reason, why is it only that you can't lend them with interest? What about other business dealings? You can't be partners with him at all. So, by other cases of business, rabbis did not make a decree because you could do that with a Jew. There's a mitzvah to try to go into partnerships and business dafka with a Jew, like Rashi writes on the pasuk in Parshas Bahar. When you sell, you should try to sell to a Jew. You should try to do business with a Jew. If you come to buy something, try to buy from a Jew. If you have a choice to buy a product from a Jew or from a guy, you're supposed to try to buy from a Jew. Give a Jew the parnasa. However, lending with interest, which is usher to Yisrael, and people want to make money, and the karv l'schar, it's an easy way to make money, so there's more to be choshesh. So by regular business dealings, anyway, there's a mitzvah to do with a Jew. You didn't have to make a special isser. But by lending with interest, which is something that everybody wants to do, we're afraid that if it would be mutter to do to a guy, so your mamish do all of your business with this, and you'll come to learn from their ma'isim. And therefore, dafka here, the rabbis instituted an iser. And from this reason, Tosis writes, Shebizman hazeh, that we're living among the goyim, and it's impossible for us to make money if we won't do some business dealings with them. There is no iser nowadays to lend money from a goy more than any other iser. It's k'dei parnasaso, so it's going to be mutter. Rabosai, we will stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful day.
If you teach Paradise, I assume, you know?
I think they do.